Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bob Geppert, and I'm way better looking than Stephen Casey. So you can let him know that when you see him next time, okay? Today, we do what we always do. We gather for Eucharist, and we carry on. And in today's gospel, I want to point out a couple of things. Jesus tells a familiar story about the widow's mite. And we all know the story, and it's no accident that this story happens to fall in the church's calendar at the same time most churches are doing their fundraising for the next year. So it's our springboard to ask you for money. I'm not doing that today. Instead, I want us to look at that story a little differently. And we're going to look at the story in terms of what is motivating the people in the story. And see if you can figure out, as you hear the gospel read, what the motivation is for the scribe and what the motivation is for the widow. And I'll tell you, if you don't figure it out, I'm going to tell you what it is, okay? All right, so let's begin.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever.
Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. First reading is from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I might go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and for your son." For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning comes from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Lord, take my lips and speak with them. Take our minds and think with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as reading this gospel and preparing for today, and I kept thinking about my dad in all of this. And I decided I wanted to tell you a story. I want to tell you a little bit about my dad and who he was and how my opinion of my dad has changed over the years. Dad never finished high school, and that was his great regret. On his deathbed, he said to me that he was sorry that he did not finish school. And my dad was a taskmaster when it came to school for us. When I was a little boy, I remember being embarrassed by my dad's hands. He sanded cars for a living. He worked in cold garages. And sometimes he worked 2 or 3 jobs. The dirt around his fingernails, the grime, was embedded and under his fingernails. And in the pores of his skin and the discolored calluses that were on his hands. He was more educated than his father, and he was damn sure that we were going to be more educated than he was. And it's like an out-of-body experience for me. I can see myself when I'm 6 or 7 years old. I don't know what I did. I got a bad grade in something, I'm sure. And I can see myself standing in front of him between the kitchen table and the stove. And I'm looking at the pattern on the linoleum. And he's lecturing me. And he says to me, he puts out his hands in front of me, and he says to me, "Do you want your hands to look like this, boy?" And I said, no. He said, then you get an education. For my dad, being educated was finishing school, finishing high school. That was the education he wanted me to get. And I used to be embarrassed by him, and I was annoyed that he was such a taskmaster about school and grades and such a disciplinarian. And the older I get, the further along on my journey I get, the more differently I see how it was. My dad's strictness and his constant harping about school was motivated by love. The last hymn we sang was something about a chastening rod in there. My dad, who never said, I love you, my dad loved me. And my sisters, and my mother. Because love looks like sacrifice, doesn't it? Anybody who's had kids knows that. Sacrifice. We sacrifice of ourselves in love for the sake of another. We sacrifice ourselves in love for the sake of something greater than ourselves. And so my dad went to work every single day, not liking his job, but doing it because he was motivated by love. Imagine. Isn't that wonderful? That's a Jesus thing. The gospel that we have today of this widow and the scribe is situated so that in Mark's gospel, it is the last public teaching that Jesus does. After this teaching, he talks about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and his passion and death begin. It is here for a reason. It is in this chapter for a reason. Because Jesus is the widow in this story. Jesus is the one who sacrifices all for the sake of something bigger than himself. Jesus is the best revelation we have of who God is, and we know that God is love. God is love, and where true love is, the hymn goes, God Himself is there. God is love. Jesus represents that, tells us, is God for us, because Jesus is motivated by love. So Jesus now tells this public teaching, the last of his public teachings, and he describes a person called a scribe. And what motivates the scribe? You don't have to answer me, I'll tell you. Self-glory. Status. That's what motivates the scribe. Here he is, a religious leader. A person who knows all about his religion and does not put it into action. Understanding something is worthless if we don't act on it. And so Jesus says, the scribe likes to wear long robes. Now, what's that about? Well, scribes had long robes to wear in the functioning of their religious duties and at prayer. And here we have a scribe who is out in public wearing the robes so that people would notice him. I said, that's like me dressing like this to go down to Central Market and buy carrots and chicken livers. He does it to be seen. He does it to improve his status in the community. And Jesus says, he will get the greater condemnation. He is not practicing his faith. So Jesus is clear about entering the kingdom. A message for us. And Jesus is also clear about who is entering the kingdom now. And so he tells us about the widow who puts in a penny. A widow oppressed by the people like the scribe. She puts all that she has into that treasury. She gives all as Jesus gives all on the cross. She practices her religion. She hears the word of God. Her heart is converted, and she gives all, trusting in a God who loves her. Another lesson for us. And so, like my dad, motivated by love, and like the widow, motivated by love, Jesus is teaching us that it is important for us to have the right heart. Not just doing things, but doing things that enable us to be changed, enable us to be transformed. Because you have power, people of God, when you listen to the teachings and you take them into yourself and you practice them, you have power to change the world. So today, Jesus teaches us that it is what's in our hearts that is important. Not the exterior. Not the outside of cups or phylacteries or long robes or long prayers. None of that means a thing if we are devouring widows' houses. Jesus says, practice in order to understand, and understand in order to be transformed. That's how it goes. We are his disciples. Jesus is talking to us today. Amen. Please join me in professing your faith by saying with me the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made. One being with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our sins. Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
For the widow and her son, the jar of flour did not go empty, nor did the jug of oil run dry. Through a year of drought, God provided for their needs until the rains came. Mindful of our own hunger and thirst, let us ask God to give us those blessings which will sustain us, saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Lord, hear our prayer.
In our Anglican cycle of prayer this morning, we pray for Iglesia Episcopal de Cuba, and in our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for All Saints Hershey. We pray for Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and all people of faith throughout the world who are suffering persecution for their beliefs. We ask that you send life-giving rain to the earth, that there may be bread for all nations. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We ask that the leaders of this country will build for peace, not for war, so that there can be a more equitable sharing of the world's resources. Give us this day our daily bread. In our parish cycle of prayer today, we remember Paul, Cindy, and Morgan Ocampo, Matt, Nancy, and Emily Alcott, Bob and Nancy Oliver, Rhea and Mary Ann Altman. And in our Thanksgiving, we give thanks for the flowers given by Mary Snyder in memory of Alice J. Will and Andrea Will Gockley. We ask that the church may continue to offer the bread of life to those who are hungry in spirit, that they may taste the richness of your consolation. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We ask that this community of faith may be a sign of your loving generosity, always ready to give those who have less and to welcome the strangers in our midst. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask that you hear the cries of the hungry, that you will open our ears to their pleas. Give us this day our daily bread.
Loving God, giver of life, nurture us in body and spirit, so that trusting in your mercy, we may generously respond to whatever you ask of us. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, who gave his life for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in
Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. I didn't forget.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be again awarding a Quilt of Valor on Veterans Day. And I'd like to call Paul Bender and his wife Linda to come up here. And Buddy and Tony and Dina.
Dina?
No? All right. And we're going to start today with the most important part of our honoring Paul. First of all, we're going to have Buddy come up and bless the quilt that Paul's about to receive. So, Buddy, Tony, you want to come up with the quilt?
O Judge of the Nations, we remember before you with grateful hearts the men and women of our country who in the day of decision ventured much for the liberties we now enjoy. Grant that we may not rest until all the people of this land share the benefits of true freedom and gladly accept its disciplines. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we bless this quilt in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. Paul, with the support of St. Edward's, we're representing the Lancaster Red Rose Quilt Guild's Quilts of Valor team, and we're honoring you for your service in the Army. And I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Sue, who is a member of our team, and she'll be sharing in the award today. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Sharon Hubbard, also a St. Edward's parishioner, who is not with us today because she is honoring her very own veteran, her husband at the VA hospital. So she's here with us in spirit. Okay. We are members of the Quilts of Valor Foundation, a national organization founded in 2003 by a Blue Star mother by the name of Catherine Roberts. Her son served in Iraq, and while he was deployed, she got the idea of comforting veterans with quilts. Since then, over 200,000 quilts have been awarded in the United States, Germany, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The mission is to honor service members and veterans who have been touched by war, as Paul was, with a quilt of valor. Valor is defined as strength of mind or spirit, courage, and the quality of mind enabling someone to face danger or hardship resolutely. Paul, you served our country exceedingly well and at great sacrifice. We've received information on your Army service extending from 1966 to 1993. You were drafted, and your unit was involved in missions in Vietnam, the Cuban crisis, Barbados, Panama, and Germany. Amongst all the many experiences you've had, you've been singled out twice, being awarded the Army Achievement Award. You've been given a letter of commendation for your efforts in the Cuban crisis and were designated NCO of the Year, not once, but twice. Now, also note, Paul served in the U.S. Army Rifle Team, so be very careful around him. And, Paul, we're so happy to be a small part of honoring your service with a Quilt of Valor today, and especially important that you receive it here at St. Edward's. And we thank you for all you've given to our country. And at this point, Sue is going to tell you a little bit about your quilt.
What does the Quilt of Valor mean? It simply means that your service to our country is honored. It is a thank you for the sacrifice made on behalf of the American people and your knowledge that freedom is not free. The quilt is a reminder that those of us who quilt them are remembering all those servicemen and women who made the sacrifice of service and is our own way of thanking them. These quilts are not handed out. they are awarded. These quilts are not charity quilts or just a blanket. They consist of three layers. The top represents communities and the many individuals who contribute to it. The filler or batting brings warmth, comfort, peace, and healing. And lastly, the backing represents strength and support, all layers, as you, as the service members, are supported by family, community, and the nation. These quilts may be fashioned by one or two individuals or through a combined effort of many women, which is what our group does. All of our quilters want you, as the recipient, to know your service is gratefully remembered and the valor you have shown by doing your duty in spite of the possible consequences. We now present you, Paul, with your very own quilt of valor.
Okay. Buddy and Tony, would you like to award the quilt?
Open it up.
Indeed. Thank you. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please greet each other. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you indeed. How lovely.
It's our second time.
How nice. Please be seated. It's like crowd control, isn't it? Your senior warden has an announcement to make.
Thank you, Bishop Geppert. I won't take but just a moment. I did receive a note from Stephen, and I wanted to read it to everybody this morning. He says, "This is a brief note to thank you for the service of Evensong and the wonderful reception that followed, and for the extraordinary gifts of love and affection that were showered on Ray Lynn and me, Emily and Elizabeth, on the occasion of my last day in the parish as your rector. It is not often that one has an anthem composed in your honor, but to receive a financial gift of the magnitude we received on Friday evening, as well as other gifts that were presented, left us all deeply moved. It was an emotional evening, truly reflective of the love we have for all the people of St. Edward's, and the love you have for us. Over the coming weeks, I hope to write notes of thanks to as many people as possible. But for the moment, I would be grateful if you could find a way, either by public announcement or through the Sunday bulletin, to express our deep appreciation and affection for you all. And so I wanted to take a few moments and read that this morning, and also to say something that I had anticipated Stephen would say on Friday, but he didn't, and so the moment passed. And that is to tell you guys of what he referred to there, the magnitude of the gift. That all of the parish together presented Stephen with a check for $14,000. And that came from all of you. And so on behalf of the vestry, I wanted to say thank you. In addition to that, you all gave $3,000 more dollars, which paid for the reception. So to send Stephen and his family off, the parish gave $17,000. And again, on behalf of the vestry, I just want to express my deep appreciation to each and every one of you. So thank you all.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Edward the Confessor and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
"Give us today our daily bread. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The 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 body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing, mercy, and grace of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.